Coaching as Benevolence, a podcast for people who are curious about using coaching for self-development. I'm Erin with Roots and Wings Grief and Loss Coaching.
And I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place Positive Intelligence Coaching. Today, we are going to look at the growth zone. You're probably familiar with comfort zone. The growth zone is a place where we can find our purpose and self-actualize. That's a term from Maslow's hierarchy of need. The self-actualization is the highest need that we meet as human beings. And that's just finding your purpose, finding meaning in your life, why you're here, forging your path. And so the growth zone is a place where we can do that. But we often look at the growth zone in comparison to the comfort zone. So we'll be talking about the comfort zone. We'll also be talking about fear. We'll be talking about different ways of looking at stress and other things that come up organically in our conversation. So Erin, when you hear the word growth zone, what comes to your mind?
I think of this model as an opportunity to kind of really be in alignment with one's purpose and be intentional about that. Purpose and intentionality are two words that come to my mind. But the other thing is almost paradoxical that comes to my mind, and that is the comfort zone. The comfort zone also exists for a reason for us to be able to retreat to or find solace in or rest in. And so I think sometimes this model can be a bit confusing because it seems like it's a linear, straightforward path. Once we go from comfort zone, out of our fear zone to our learning zone and into the growth zone, whereas that's not how this model is actually lived out. And our comfort zone has purpose for us as well, right? So I just want to clarify that interpretation of this model and how meaningful and purposeful it can be to have comfort and as we move in our growth and learn new things and try on new things. And the other thing that comes to my mind too is like some people, when it comes to like purposeful living, when it specifically to their career, some people I feel like are born with that and just know, right? They know they're going to be a doctor or like my dad, a farmer, those types of things that is just part of who they are. Whereas for a lot of us other people, we have to do a lot of meaning making and finding when it comes to that part of our purpose in our career. Keeping in mind that maybe we're living out our purposes in different areas as well, right? That are not even thought about, that are just as natural as someone who says, I know what my career is going to be from the day that I'm born, as it is for people who don't know that within their career. So I think the growth zone doesn't always have to be so focused always in that space of career, but really we can talk about purpose more wholly, how we live our day-to-day lives, what we find meaning in, how we experience contentment and joy and also disappointment and all of those sorts of things, I think are part of this complex model, although it looks quite simple. So those are my initial thoughts on the model here. And I guess, LaShawn, when you were first introduced to this model, I'm curious if your understanding then has shifted a lot and it is a lot different today.
When I was first introduced to this model, I was, you know, in coach training, and I would say that I did take it as more of a linear thing. Like we are moving out of comfort zone and going into growth zone. That's where we want to be. But now I am seeing it from your perspective that you mentioned, Erin, about the comfort zone having value and also it not being linear. Now I see this model as a roadmap for how we can navigate different phases in our lives, different things that happen as we take in new knowledge, as we learn. And that's another thing that I've seen with this model is a learning zone, which is also part of growth as well. So you're learning where you're expanding your comfort zone in a way by taking on new skills and expanding your knowledge, deepening your knowledge. And then that can then lead to greater sense of purpose, maybe a sharper focus for your purpose. And I like what you said, Erin, about the fact that not all of us are born knowing hey, I'm going to be a doctor, I'm going to be a teacher, I'm going to be a this or a that. And that's perfectly okay. And I think that's also part of this model, too, is how we can navigate changes that happen in our lives. Or if we are feeling stuck, or we're feeling like maybe our life is stagnating, we're maybe feeling bored or restless, we can turn to this model and say, hey, you know, I like a change in life. I am not feeling very comfortable with my comfort zone. So how can I do that? So one way that you can do that is look at the model and then read about it. You can talk to other people. You can work with a coach and you can explore ways that you can expand just a little bit the way that you do things on an everyday basis. So for me, to answer your question, Erin, I have gone from this is looking at we are moving from A to B or A to Z, and more like this is how I can effectively navigate changes in my life, where I can navigate the journey of finding purpose in my life. We often hear from, you know, those gurus out there like Tony Robbins and other people, coaches out there who say, you can't grow when you're comfortable. And I think there's something to be said about that as well, because yes, I do believe that if you are in your comfort zone, you do tend to take for granted certain things, like you feel like you have control over your environment. This is what I know. Everything's predictable. I think there is definitely space for that, your comfort zone, going back to that. That's something that you can jump off of. You can go back to, hey, I'm comfortable at this and I'm comfortable here. So let me take some time to re-energize or recharge my batteries here in my comfort zone. And then I can venture out into the learning zone, or the what is the fear zone, where we might be navigating waters that we're not used to. But we can still use those tools that we use in our comfort zone, the compass. If we're going to use the nautical analogy, you know, we know that there's a bow and we know there's a stern, and we know that all of these things are the same, but we're in new waters. So we know our boat, we just don't know the waters. That's something that we can hold on to as an anchor that can keep us steady and stable when we are in uncharted waters. What are you thinking, Aaron?
When you were talking about this nautical analogy, it really got me to think a little bit differently, I think, about the comfort zone than what I originally was considering it to be. And one part that I think I didn't speak to earlier on is what you're speaking to here, maybe, is having the internal tools that are, you've grown these by leaving the comfort zone, but you go back to the comfort zone with these, but you know that you have these specific traits. And I think those are for people, their strengths, their specific strengths, whether they've done strengths assessments, or if people don't have access to strengths assessments, you can always ask someone like, hey, what are my strengths in how I handle conflict, or what are my strengths in my career, or what are my strengths in when I was a kid, those types of things. Those can be some of those anchors in that nautical analogy that keep us grounded, but also provide part of that compass as well, really understanding ourselves in that space. And obviously, to be able to get those initially, we have to be outside of that comfort zone multiple times. And that's part of growing over time and all the experiences that one amasses. But there is this, I've gained these tools as I'm going through my comfort zone, and I've gained better insight into who I am, and I've gained better understanding of my strengths, and I can take those back and rest in the comfort zone for a moment before I keep moving out into uncharted waters. That is kind of like taking a break in exercise, right? Or if I'm training for a race, I'm going to run a couple miles, take some breaks, keep increasing my mileage with breaks, and always having that space of movement and rest going together. And I think one of the pieces in this model, to kind of pivot from where I'm talking right now, that can often feel like the choppiest of waters for people is that fear zone, because that's where a lot of self-doubt starts to play in. And then that disrupts my understanding of my strengths, that disrupts my understanding of who I am. And I think that's so fascinating and so cool that it can do that. and give us help us kind of unravel ourselves into new strengths and new ideas and new ways of being. But it's very scary sometimes, right? With the word fear zone. And when I think of making decisions, I always like think of like this why dichotomy of like, are you making your decision out of a just fear or out of love? And all along that spectrum, there's all the nuance in between. But sometimes when I ask myself that, I totally change my motivation for what I'm doing, even though I'm scared. I feel a little bit more strength when I reframe the conversation for me to make more of a decision out of love. And I know that's not always the case, but that has been a helpful tool for myself throughout the years. And the other part about the fear zone is that we can, especially in grief and loss, put a lot of suffering onto ourselves. And we can also receive a lot of suffering from others because of the lack of support and certain things. So there is this kind of internal, external play here in grief and loss when fear comes up after an event or even expecting the loss of a loved one or having a strained an estranged relationship with someone. So you do see that a lot. And in my book, I talk a little bit about that piece. And I want to say the one quote that's at the front of my mind, always try to bring in quotes, I guess, is C.S. Lewis. And he talked about like, I didn't know grief felt so much like fear because it is such a new map. Right. Whereas sometimes when we're trying to move through the comfort zone to get to the growth zone, it's more scaffolded. We're not just like thrown into a whole new world for growth. But in grief and loss, that's often how it is. And so it's a lot of relearning, a lot of pivoting, a lot of changing up our understandings of our own skills and self and everything like that. It can be the fear zone can be like a mold somebody right a little bit more, I think, than the rest of them. So I guess my encouragement to listeners is that when you are in that space, just know that there is something leading you to something much better in terms of your own way of being in the world, especially your way of being in the world, but other things as well. All right, LaShawn, what else? What can you kind of help me out there? Because I went on
Yeah,
different
absolutely.
channels,
No,
different.
I while you were talking, and then also before, and also now when you were talking, I was thinking about the importance of self-awareness and understanding our limitations. Like you were talking about strengths, understanding your strengths, understanding the boundaries of your comfort zone, and understanding where that bleeds into your fear zone or into uncharted territory. And also even just taking an objective view of how you react to your comfort zone or how you react to uncharted territory when you get into the fear zone, and taking time to detach from a personal judgment of how you're reacting and taking on a curious stance. Oh, I notice that my heart's racing, or I notice that I am going towards comfort foods, or I notice that I completely dissociate when I am put on the spot, or I notice that I have a tendency to talk too much when I don't know what to say in a conversation. I don't know where I'm going, or I don't know where I stand, or when there's silence, I tend to fill it with senseless blabber. Notice that about yourself without judgment. Of course, senseless is a judgment. I'm going to put that in there. I own that. That was a judgment word. But it's important to know yourself in order to navigate these zones. And another thing that I like about this model is it is a roadmap, and it gives you insight into tendencies that humans have when navigating certain areas of their lives or life in general that are familiar, that are somewhat familiar, but a little bit unfamiliar. That's where I would call it kind of your fear zone. And then your learning zone is areas where you're building on what you know. So I know this, and I can build off of this, and I can expand my skill set. I don't know everything. Things are new, but I have a foundation. And your fear zone is like, I don't know anything. I gotta get my bearings. Okay, I'm getting used to this. This is now becoming a learning zone. Okay, I have a foundation. I can build off of it. And from there I can go into my growth zone where I'm looking at bigger picture, my purpose. I'm looking at where I can make meaning. Because when we're in a place where we have the tools and we know our strengths and we've got the self-awareness, we can challenge ourselves. And another thing that I noticed about this model and also about discussions around growth zone is it's intentional. I want to go back to what Aaron said about intentionality. And there is a understanding that when you are looking at this model, the growth zone, if you intentionally move into the growth zone, then there are certain actions you can take that can lead you to the growth zone. And this is informed by research that we know about neuroplasticity and what we know about Carol Dweck's mindset, growth mindset, the fixed and growth mindset, which is an alignment with neuroplasticity and the fact that hu the human mind, the human brain, is malleable and does grow and does adapt. So those are some things that come to mind when I think about the growth zone and the journey that we take that leads us to that zone, either intentionally or not, because things happen in life that are going to kind of push you into that. For example, loss, disaster, emergencies, things like that. That's just going to push you into a place where you're probably not familiar with because, disasters, emergencies, those things are rare. Those things are things that, happen suddenly and without warning sometime. I really do see this as an opportunity for Aaron and I, as we talk, and also our listeners, as you listen, to take some time to focus on self-awareness, learning how you adapt and how you react to situations when they change and shift. Any thoughts, Erin?
Yeah, I like that you're pulling in self-awareness because I think that is a base at all of the different levels or areas of the comfort zone model. And I think that bringing up, especially more recently, we've had some natural disasters in our country and everything. They're relearning a lot about their worlds and how they're affected. And that can be really challenging, especially when one's comfort zone gets disrupted like that or change so abruptly like that. So I think acknowledging a sense of compassion and self-belief and community as other areas of kind of understanding oneself and some of the internal work that one does for oneself, I think is really important to hold in all of life situations, but especially when that core of your comfort zone gets disrupted. And then on the other end of that, there are a lot of people who maybe they're actually in a really firm place in a learning zone, but they have yet to really find a comfortable place, a comfort zone, something they can settle into. So I'm curious about that dynamic in this model, whether it's because of repeated traumas or whatever it may be, not being able to access a comfort zone consistently, but maybe they still can find pathways forward through the learning zone, which takes them more into the growth zone and then maybe goes back then into the comfort zone. So I kind of see that kind of circular process for this too. And I'm not sure if this is how it was initially intended as well. But I think acknowledging too, we all start from different places with this. And a lot of it relies on, specifically for this model, our own internal work that we do. Granted, there's a lot swimming in the background regarding, sociological factors and other factors. But if one just looks at this model, a lot of it is how do you help yourself and help someone gain the tools and self-belief to persist, just like you mentioned in Carol Dweck's work. I can see how this would be overlaid with her growth mindset visual chart that you see a lot. That's another question that comes up for me, and that resiliency factor. And how do we look at resiliency from an equity lens as well, while also honoring the individual and their journey and wherever they are? So I think there are a lot of questions I have that I'm trying not to go too much into the external and all the factors that come into play for people's abilities to access their own self-confidence and self-belief. But despite all of those external factors, I do see that this model can be particularly helpful when people want to do a lot of internal work. LaShawn, what about you?
I do want to add on to your comment about external circumstances and also looking at it from an equitable lens. This, I think, is where a partner would be a place where a partner could come in, like a thought partner, someone, a counselor, a coach can come in and help the person come up with tools that will work for them to navigate self-awareness. Like, what does that look like? And they can take baby steps to being more self-aware, because self-awareness, I believe, is a skill. And I think that it's something that can be scaffolded. And I think that coaches, therapists, counselors can step in, and that could be a role for them to partner with an individual and help them out, but build that bridge where we are kind of delving into personal, interpersonal relationships or personal examining self-examination. I think that there is, first, there has to be like the curiosity there. Someone has to be, one needs to be curious. One thing that I find interesting is that a lot of people, when I talk to them about what I do as a positive intelligence coach, like, oh, my friend needs that, or my son needs that, or my mom needs that. And it's like, unless your friend, son, or mom says to you, hey, I'm really feeling like I am stuck, or I would really like to change XYZ, I'd like to be able to do XYZ better, that's when you know you can step in and you can help. If you notice that someone's behavior, mindset, whatever is not or is problematic in your mind, but they're just going along happy, they're good, or even if they're not happy, if they're self-destructive, unless they're saying I need help, or unless they're saying, hey, this isn't working for me, I think there's a fine line between helping someone who needs help, who is aware that they need help, and helping someone because you feel like they need help. And it makes, and if you think about like why we do the things we do, and this kind of goes back to your comfort zone, right? If you are looking at someone and it's very uncomfortable when you see a loved one struggling, for me, I'm going to speak for myself. It's uncomfortable when I see a loved one struggling. When I see my daughter struggling, when I see someone I care about struggling. And as a coach, as someone who has all the tools and, who's been working on myself, who's self-aware, I want to tell that person, hey, you can do this, or you can do this, or you can do this, rather than just being with that person in the place where they are and accepting where they are and just being aware of when there is room for making a suggestion. So I think when it comes to external factors and looking at things from an equitable lens, I think it's really important to not only be self-aware, but be aware of the people around you and whether or not there is space for giving suggestions or helping out. And how one does that is another skill that I think we need to consider when we are wanting to show care or we're wanting to help someone out. And I know this is kind of a tangent, but what are your thoughts about that, Erin?
No, I like that you brought that in. And I think one thing I want to highlight from what you said is this idea of advice giving, because even regardless of the scenario, and I like the scenario you brought up about, maybe somebody isn't wanting help, or we should not be necessarily telling them they need help, or whatever it may be. I think that's one of the skill sets of a coach that is that we are specifically trained in is to not be models of advice giving. That is kind of the antithesis of effective coaching. And so I'm glad that you brought that in here, and I think that makes a lot of sense. And coaching conversations come up a lot around concepts within this model, whether you're looking at the model or not. There's always something, I think, in a coaching session that will go back to something within this model, whether it's the individual's skills, whether that's the individual's way of being, what they're learning, where they feel safe. All those sorts of things can easily come up in any coaching conversation, that's even those not focused specifically on growth and the growth zone. So I appreciate you bringing that in here. And I'm curious, like, if we could maybe be like an example here of going a little bit into coach mode and just kind of playing around with some questions for those who are interested in the model or for other coaches out there. So, for example, in the learning zone, let's say one of the things they want to do is, I want to learn how to make my comfort zone bigger, right? So, one question someone may ask is, what areas of your life do you think could be more comfortable for you? And then going and talking through that a little bit to get a little bit more understanding about how that comfort zone could be molded and shaped and grown. So that's just an example here. LaShawn, do you have a question off of the model?
I love that you brought up the question of making one's comfort zone bigger. I like that because I didn't really think about it from that point of view, making one's comfort zone bigger, because that's essentially what the learning zone is kind of. It's the boundaries of your comfort zone have been expanded, because in learning, in expanding or adding to what you know, you're in that sweet spot where you have expanded out of your comfort zone, but you've gone through the fear zone, which is not so comfortable. And you have then gained enough skills and knowledge to be a little bit less uncomfortable. And that's your learning zone, right? So I love that. And one thing that comes to mind when you were talking about that, for someone who's intentionally wanting to expand their comfort zone, something that comes up a lot in coaching is the idea of reframing. And one thing I want to focus on specifically is anxiety, because going back to that fear. So, one thing we do know from research is that physiologically in your body, the feeling of anxiety is not different from the feeling of excitement. So, one thing that we can do when we are in the fear zone is look at our stress response to uncomfortable situations or unfamiliar situations or ambiguous situations, and look at it as, well, this is something that is motivating me to grow. And my body is getting ready for this. This is something that I learned from a workshop that I participated in with a group called Natural Highs in Boulder. It's a local group, and they work on helping teens develop strategies for prevention of addiction and even getting out of addiction. And so they use like natural remedies. And one thing that I learned from this workshop was the idea of taking your feeling of stress or anxiety and seeing it as an expression of your own personal power. And so if you can look at that as an expression of your own personal power, that the butterflies in your stomach or shortness of breath or the things that happen when you get nervous, the sweating, all of that, that's your body preparing you for a challenge. And if you can see it that way, then it's proven in studies that it's going to make the process smoother. And so reframing is something that I use a lot in my own coaching. And I'm sure, Aaron, you're aware of this skill of reframing. But that's one way that I would invite a client who is intentionally looking to expand their comfort zone. I would ask the question, hey, where are there some areas of your life where you could see that anxious feeling as something that could help you? And what would need to change in order for you to see that as something that is good for you? That's one question that I would ask and invite my client to be curious about that. Anything coming up for you, Erin?
Yeah, thank you for sharing that example. And I like how you framed it by giving the background story of the group in Boulder and then funneling that into a question there at the end. So I love that. And I might have to pull on some of that piece around the anxiousness and how that feels, right? Because that's one thing that we often talk about too, is like, how do things feel internally, whether that's a feeling around sadness or anxiousness or frustration or whatever it may be. And I love what you said, that it's a challenge, and where can you find a piece of that is almost like this acceptable challenge, right? A way to engage with that in a way that's a little less scary potentially. And I like that as an idea, as people think about the fear zone here. Like, you know, it doesn't have to, you don't have to, I feel like there's big fear with a capital F, and then there's like all these other layers of fear down to like the tiniest font of F. And it's like everything is always on this like sliding scale of like how much to engage with and then push back with and then engage with and then kind of, oh, I might have jumped a little bit too far there and I might want to move back, or actually this isn't challenging me enough and I need to step it up here. So that fear zone can be a good place to internalize that and know that. But one of my favorite zones is the learning zone. Learner is in my top five, like strengths for the Clifton Strengths Assessment. And I just find for me, it is a coping tool in a lot of ways, like a way to be curious and take on information from a lens of kind of like awe inspired, right? I'm awe inspired to learn something new or whatever it may be. And I feel like now with kids, young kids, I learned so many random facts because the children's books have all these facts about, you know, history and science and everything that I have completely forgotten or was never taught. And so when it goes back to like just the scaffolding of basic understanding at the basic level of learning, I feel like that's where I'm at right now. My growth zone is learning a lot of these facts. But anyway, kind of took a tangent there. So learning, one of the things we did a lot with students at CU and through the coach training that we did there is this model. And I think I may have brought it up in a previous podcast at some point, but it's learn, be, do. And so we want to be as coaches helping them understand, you know, what they're doing, who they're being, and what they're learning. And learning and being are much more important than the doing part. It's all about that self-awareness and self-actualization. So sometimes even a question as simple as, what did you learn during our session today? Or what are you learning about yourself right now? That can just be a spark of curiosity to then bring in more inspiration to kind of move out of that learning zone and into the growth zone. And so there's a lot to play around there with the learning. And, you know, today when I was learning, how was I feeling? You know, there's so much there that I like when it comes to coaching questions in particular in that learning zone. So those are some of my other kind of favorite areas. LaShawn, maybe you can wrap us up with one more and then we can move into our coaching nuggets of wisdom.
You were talking about favorite zones. And one thing that I think I am kind of perpetually in the learning zone because, I feel like I'm taking on so much new information and I have been in the fear zone and it kind of oscillate between learning zone, fear zone, learning zone, comfort zone. it's kind of, I,
Yep.
you know, and I know when I'm in my comfort zone, and that to me is a place of respite. I do not judge myself for going into the comfort zone. And I realize that that's something that I need to recharge and to regain the courage to go back into the learning zone. And then there's like parts of the fear zone as well that I experience. There's the fear of, do I have what it takes? That self-efficacy. Can I meet my goals? And I set like really high goals for myself. And I know that those are the long-term goals. And when I'm in the fear zone, There's a lot of compare and despair and that kind of thing going on as well. So I would like to spend more time in the growth zone. I would like to know what I am like. I love that learn, be, do. I want to ask myself from now on, first I want to ask myself, am I in the grow zone or the learn zone? And what's the difference between the learning zone and the growth zone? And what does it feel like? And how do I show up when I'm in the learning zone? I know that it's really thrilling and fulfilling to be in the learning zone. Like you, Erin, I probably have that high learner. That's probably a high strength for me as well. I do feel like a lifelong learner, and I'm a seeker of truth. So I love, love, love learning new things and finding new ways of understanding the world. But I really don't know. I'm not familiar with the growth zone, and I would really like to learn more about that. How do I show up in the growth zone when I am fully aligned with my purpose? How
Wow.
does that feel? What do I look like? What am I learning about myself in the growth zone to take that question from you? I love those questions that you have that you would ask the students. So yeah, I'm gonna say that I would like to know more about myself in the growth zone, and I want to explore more about the growth zone because I feel like I know a lot about the other zones, but I don't know that much about the growth zone.
I love that you pulled that in here. And it was just like this aha light bulb moment for me as you were talking too, because out of all of the zones, I don't think I know what the growth zone feels like the most. Right. And I was thinking, well, maybe I like the learning zone so much because it's just less pressure. I still get to be curious and lighthearted and keep learning. But I don't know, to live out your dreams in the growth zone, that's a little riskier. That takes a little, I don't know what you want to say, a little more like, I'm just going to do my plain old Kansas farm girl language, guts. It takes guts, right? That sort of thing. And so I too want to explore that and really appreciate what you have said about the growth zone. It made me really think about my learning zone a little bit differently. So,
Is
did you?
yeah,
Oh, go ahead.
it's funny. Like, I wonder, Erin, is the learning zone our comfort zone?
It probably is. Yeah, I know, right? If it's an inherent strength, and we talk about strengths being part of our comfort zone, like our anchors and our specific skills. Yeah. So unlearning is our new learning. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to explore that and see how that is.
Yeah. So do you have a nugget of wisdom you want to share?
Yeah, sure. I want to invite our listeners to explore the different zones as Erin and I have done in this conversation. I would say that I had a realization in this conversation that of the many zones that there are that you can experience and find yourself in life. The growth zone is one of those ones that I'm not that familiar with. And I don't think that we spend a lot of time talking about what it feels like to really live in that space where you're living your dreams and you've taken it to the next level. And I'm curious and excited to know. So, what are those different zones for you? What do they look like? And what are you learning? I'm going to take that from Erin. I hope I didn't take your coaching
No,
nugget
you kind of
of
did at the
wisdom
end with the not what are you learning, but what do they
from
look like?
you.
Because I was like, oh, I think I'm going to say, what do each of these zones look like for people? But instead, I'm just going to do like an individualized statement or question. So maybe take out a pen and journal, or type on your computer, or record yourself talking about this. But maybe describe your comfort zone. In the fear section, maybe identify what you are most afraid of, a little bit afraid of, and least afraid of. In the learning section, maybe identify how you approach your learning. And in the growth zone, you can ask yourself so many questions, but maybe, what is your purpose right now? What are you learning about yourself that informs what your purpose could be? That's what I would say.
Thanks for joining us for Coaching as Benevolence. I'm LaShawn with Maychelle Sage Place, Positive Intelligence Coaching.
And I'm Erin with Roots and Wings, Grief and Loss Coaching.
Have a benevolent day.